Global corporations are finding it tough to split the difference on staying or leaving Russia. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the brand new White House proposal for how it wants to budget the government in the next accounting year includes new spending on things like affordable housing and national security. Now, one of the challenges here is finding money to pay for this if the goal is not to simply borrow more at a time of rising interest rates. Well, if it's up to President Biden, the very wealthiest of Americans will be chipping in more. Biden is calling for a billionaire minimum income tax, at least 20% on the very richest households. Marketplace's Matt Levin has more.
The White House estimates that the wealthiest 400 households in the U.S. pay about 8% in federal income taxes. Steve Rosenthal is with the Tax Policy Center.
Some of our most fabulously wealthy Americans have amassed fortunes that have gone untaxed during their lifetime.
The Biden plan tries to get a slice of those fortunes by taxing unrealized capital gains, mostly stocks that have shot up in value. Now the government only gets a cut when someone like Elon Musk sells Tesla stock.
The Biden administration thinks they can collect hundreds of billions of dollars.
Rosenthal says the proposal would affect about 20,000 households that have more than $100 million in net worth. But those households are good at avoiding tax hits, says Will McBride at the Tax Foundation.
This will create basically a cottage industry of tax planning around the tax.
You know that line from Jurassic Park, life finds a way? Same goes for tax avoidance. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, I didn't believe it till I rechecked the math just now, but we found one huge stock that is now up slightly for the year so far. Amazon has pulled itself from the great 2022 trough, and the stock is now up 1.4% since New Year's Eve. But if you own stock, it's not just one. The S&P 500 is down 4% year so far. This morning, U.S. stock index futures are up in the 3 to 4 tenths of a percent range. Russia said today it's made a third interest payment on debt that's come due since the war in Ukraine began. Concerns remain that sanctions could cause a default. Meanwhile, the rating agency Fitch has withdrawn its assessments of 27 Russian banks and some other affiliates given international sanctions. Saudi Arabia's oil minister says the oil producers' cartel he's part of, OPEC Plus, will leave what he called politics out of decisions about how much to pump, the key decision that affects price. Very little is immune to politics, of course, something multinational corporations are facing as the world is forcing them to decide, are they in or are they out of Russia, and how much will they help Ukraine? Harvard business professor Ranjay Gulati has a new book out called Deep Purpose, The Heart and Soul of High-Performing Companies. He says Russia's war on Ukraine is a geopolitical crisis that has put global firms in the hot seat like no other. Good morning to you.
Thank you, David. Pleasure to be here with you today.
So you've never seen anything like this before, the pressure companies are under to get it right with their dealings on Russia and Ukraine?
You know, this is clearly a kind of a turning moment for business. You know, business always wants to stay neutral, especially when it came to geopolitical issues. You know, don't get us involved. Let governments and militaries figure this out. Now you have to choose sides.
I want to understand better. You frame this in part as a trust issue. You've thought a lot about the way that companies build trust with customers and employees, other stakeholders. I mean, is this a trust issue? If a company is clear about what it's decided one way or another and does what it says, shouldn't really be a trust issue. It's a, moral issue.
Companies have for the longest time engaged in what we call virtue signaling. And, you know, you can try to parse out and say, was it a morality issue or was it a kind of a reputation management issue? And I don't think we can parse it out. But the general belief has been that by virtue signaling, you will trust me. You'll trust my products. And I think those days of kind of posturing are over. We are in a much more transparent world. So if you're going to engage in this kind of activity, I think it's important to do several things. Number one, it better be concrete and actionable with time commitments. The second one, I think companies have to become much more open to embracing kind of a moral overtone to their claims and positions. And the third one is you got to make it personal. How does it connect to who you are as a company? What's your purpose?
Companies can't just say, you don't think? Look, it'll just cost us too much money to leave Russia. And a major part of our purpose is making our shareholders money.
That's a good question. And I think making money for shareholders hasn't gone away. I think the question is how we calibrate that and over what time horizon. These kind of short-term hits play into your ability to deliver long-term value. If you say, no, this is too short-term costly for me, then you know what? You're going to pay for it. Customers won't trust you anymore. Employees will actually depart on you. And so you're going to bleed out if you think about this in very short term. So there's a time horizon to understanding our stakeholders.
I mean, at some level, the situation with Russia is pretty clear cut. And businesses often have to figure out what their position is in something that's much more a gray zone, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's where it's going to be really complex for businesses in the future, where there are going to be a lot more gray zone decisions. And business leaders are going to have to wake up fast and figure out how are they going to play in an increasingly complex world where sitting in the sidelines and saying, I don't have a moral position, I don't have a political position, not going to work anymore.
Ranjay Gulati is a business professor at Harvard. He's author of the new book called Deep Purpose, The Heart and Soul of High-Performing Companies. Professor, thanks.
Thank you, David. My pleasure to be here with you today.
Today, we also talked to a Yale business professor who publishes a running list of which companies are out of Russia, which ones are staying, and which ones are staying, but saying they're sort of going. That list has gone viral. Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed, if you miss it on the air today. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.